This morning we are looking at the first section of John chapter 13. It involves water and the removal of clothes and shoes. And I'm just going to start off, before we set it in context and say a few things, I'm just going to start off by saying, who would want me to wash their feet this morning? What? We can have people lining up. I asked a group of mums in Toddler Praise in 2016. I was, as part of my role at that point, we didn't have a children's worker. I was leading Toddler Praise. We had that story. So this story. It's a familiar story for people in church. And we were telling the children, and I had a bowl of water and some towels. And it was a hot day. The mummies were wearing sandals, most of them. And I said, can I wash your feet? Oh, no. Why was it that only one person popped up their hand? Why is it that when it's something that is maybe quite personal, or I might have fluff in between my toes, when I take my socks off, you've got that kind of sock fluff, or I've got hair on my big toe and I don't want someone to see it, or I've been wearing sandals or flip-flops and it's dusty and I don't want someone to get close. Or it's because you're just ticklish and you don't want someone being near your feet. Why is it that we wouldn't necessarily want someone to do that? It's not about the foot washing. In this story, it's not just about the foot washing. It's about, would we allow Jesus to do something for us that gets so close and personal? Would we allow him to show us his love? And would we love others with the same kind of love? This is a well-known story. My prayer is that we don't let the familiarity of it lessen the wonder of Jesus. The just falling in love with Jesus once again as we look at these verses. Just to say, there's a shift in the narrative in John's Gospel. John wrote his biography of Jesus. According to chapter 20, verse 31, it was written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. And he's written in chapters 1 to 12, account after account, story after story of pointing towards who Jesus is. And there's a repeated theme of belief. And he's speaking to the crowds or groups of people. And it spans a few years. In chapters 18 to 21, there's the trial and the death of Jesus, and then the resurrection and life. And that goes over a few weeks. And now, as we go into chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, which we'll take a slower journey through between now, break for the summer, and then pick it back up in September through to Advent, we're going through a narrative that only takes a few hours. And Jesus is with his disciples, not with the crowd, but focused on the few. And it's not just about who Jesus is, but how his disciples should relate to him and how his disciples should be once he's gone back to the Father and his Holy Spirit has been sent. There are patterns for us to follow. There's promises for us to cling to. There are prayers for us to pray. This isn't just theology about Jesus. This is how we live with Jesus. How we keep going when things get difficult. How we keep close to him. Let's read chapter 13, 1 to 17 together. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Let's correct my tone there. "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." I've put all of the points that I'm going to make. Some I will dwell on more than others. As we go through a few verses at a time, my prayer is that we're struck by the wonder of God's love shown to us through Jesus. That we are challenged by the potential for us to be utterly betray Jesus, yet he still loves us when we sin. Well, even though we're sinners, he still loves us. My prayer is that we're challenged by his example and follow his invite, or accept his invite to do what he did. Verse 1, it's just before the Passover meal. This is such a significant meal for Jews. It is the highest of meals. A meal to remember God's provision of a lamb, to remember God who provided blood that was adequate to protect and cover his people, to guard them when death and destruction came. This Passover meal, this meal that Jesus was having with his disciples, has become a simpler meal of a cup and bread. And in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they talk about the meal, but they don't talk about the foot washing. And in this high honor meal of Passover, we need to recognize that Jesus didn't just sit at the table or recline at the table. but that he got down from the table to show the full extent of his love. Verse 1 continues, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Jesus knew that the time was coming that he would return to his Father. Yet he also knew that to get back to the Father, he knew he had to go through the cross. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, our Savior, went through the cross to get to the Father, which is the same pathway that we ourselves, every single one of us, if we want to be with the Father in eternity, we need to go through the cross. And he knew that that was the path that he had to take, and he was going to take in a few hours. And we come to the end of verse 1, this beautiful verse. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In some translations it says, he now showed them the full extent of his love. It's the word here for end is the word teleos. The same Greek word that Jesus declares later on in John chapter 19 when he says it is finished. It's complete. It's my job is done. It's accomplished. This same word is used to describe the way that Jesus loves his people completely. He didn't just love them until this meal. He didn't just love them to the cross. He loved them to completion. Not in part, not at a distance, not just when they were good, but he loved them completely. And we need to understand how much you are loved by God. What is the equivalent of your feet? The area of your life that you wouldn't want someone else to know about, let alone clean up or be aware of. Jesus loves completely. And he shows that love in a few moments to his disciples by washing their feet. It's scandalous that the God of highest heaven would love in this humiliating manner, but that's how he loves completely. That even the worst part of us, the darkest part of us, he would love us completely so that he wants to minister into that area. Whoever you are, whatever you have done. And if you doubt that, let's read the next verse. Because Judas was at this table. The one who would betray him. And therefore, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, we can assume that he also washed Judas's. We've got the scandalous love underlying Jesus' actions. Next, we have the sinister coalition at work in the background, verse 2 and verse 11. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Notice that it says prompted, not propelled. This isn't forcing Judas. Judas's heart is not at the table. It's elsewhere. The phrase in the Greek is that the devil had all, it's like the devil had already put into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. It's like putting an idea into someone's head. Has anyone ever done that to you? Putting an idea into your heads. Maybe it's someone has done that to try and get you to do something that is beneficial for everyone. Oh, it's hot, isn't it? We could really do with a drink, couldn't we? It's like that, the way that Satan had put an idea into Judas's heart, into his head, and prompted him to betray Jesus. Whether it was the desire for power or money, or that Jesus was doing things in a manner that Judas didn't think was the right way for the Messiah to behave, whatever it was, something had caused him to question Jesus, to reduce his devotion, to be disenchanted with his majesty, and by doing so, he had allowed the devil to have a way in. So that when the seed, when the question, when the prompting came, it found a place to dwell. This should act as a sober warning here for us. Be careful not to let the devil have a foothold in. Don't deal with your questions or discouragements or being disenchanted with Jesus and things. Don't deal with those in separation from Jesus. Take them to him and ask him about them, because if we turn away, even if it's just a momentary thing of, oh, I'm irritated with you, Jesus, because you haven't answered that prayer yet. Don't deal with it with our backs turned to him. Talk to him, because if we deal with it alone, we're allowing an opportunity for the devil to get in. And here, Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, took part in the Passover meal and had his feet washed by the Savior, yet he went on to betray him. We can go through meals of communion. We can go through times where we say, Jesus, will you wash me? We could even have our feet washed by someone, yet still be far from God. There is a sinister coalition working in the background, and we need to be aware of it and also take heed of it. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Let's move on. Verse 3 reveals God's sovereignty at work. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And this sovereignty that Jesus knew about makes his humility even more powerful. All things were under his power, yet he got up from the meal and humbly served his disciples. The servant king is in action. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around him, verse 4. He took off the glory of heaven, the sovereignty that he had every right to display, and he removed it momentarily to show the complete love for his friends. This task of foot washing was not even a task that Jewish slaves were expected to do for their masters. Yet the God of highest heaven humbly came and served, humiliating himself through his almost nakedness, and carried out a degrading menial task for each of his disciples. Does Jesus' humility not repulse you? But does it say, no, I can't have you come that close because of my dirtiness? I can't have you, Jesus, come into that area of my past or my present because you're too holy and I don't want you near. That is the question that Peter had, because when Jesus came to Simon Peter, he says, Lord, are you going to do this for me? No, you can't do that. You shall never wash my feet. And we have this massive challenge that Jesus says, if you don't let me, Simon Peter, wash you, you have no part with me. There's a humility that is being shown by Jesus, and there needs to be a humility from his disciples to receive that love as well. If you have sin in your life that you need Jesus to deal with, and you haven't confessed it because it just feels so wrong, it feels so far from God's holiness, you need the humility to receive the humbly expressed love of Christ. Because otherwise we can have no part with him. Peter doesn't understand the need to receive the Savior serving him. Would we have understood in those moments? Would we have understood what Jesus was doing? Not just as he knelt with a bowl of water, but as he went to the cross, stripped, humiliated, as he does that for you and for me? Or would we have said, God of highest heaven, you are too holy for that? Unless I wash you, you have no part with me, says Jesus. And Peter says, wash all of me then, Lord, because I need you in my life. I need you. So wash all of me. And Peter allows Jesus to do something that expresses his complete love. So wash all of me, Jesus. The stark challenge laid before us is, will we allow Jesus to even enter into the darkest places of our hearts? Or will we keep the holiness of God at a distance, even though God is showing his humility and his desire and scandalous love to come near to us and cleanse us? And there's an invite to fellowship here, an invite to closeness, an invite not to just have a bath, but to have that ongoing cleansing from God and closeness with him. And then there's the pattern that brings us into land, the last few verses of this passage. Do you understand what I have done for you? Jesus asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Is Jesus speaking literally here? We remember the Lord's table. We remember baptism. Why don't we remember foot washing? Is it because it's getting messy? And we can sanitize communion, and well, there's water involved in baptism. But Jesus has said here, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Why don't we do it? In verse 16, Jesus reminds us that the Master is saying to us to do what he has done. And in verse 17, there's a promise of a blessing if we do as Jesus has done. So why don't we do it? Is this a pattern for us to repeat and we should be washing people's feet? Or is it just the heart behind it? Now, some of you are saying it's the heart behind it. I think it's both. I think it's both that we should be washing other people's feet literally. Maybe not all of the time, maybe not every single day. But we should be showing our complete love for someone and having that humility to kneel before them and serve them in love. Or if it's not washing their feet, is it washing their hands and taking time praying over them and blessing them and showing love? But it's also the motive. It's not just the literal washing. It's the motive that Jesus shows. The heart behind it, the humility that he calls us to have, and the complete love from the Father that he calls us to express to one another. If we are to do this, it will involve us removing our masks, the unrobing of our pride, our outer robes. It will involve us sacrificing our comforts. It will involve us relying on the love of God for that person and for us to get down from the table in order to express the complete love of God. Will we do what Jesus did? This morning, as I started, I said my hope and prayer is that we will once again not just see the story, but be wowed by the wonder of God's love, the scandal of God's love, marvel at his humility. But whenever we do that, the response should be, well, yes, worship, but also a changed life. So what will you do as a result of encountering Jesus through his word this morning? We're going to stand and sing together. I'm just pressing a piece of paper then. We're going to stand and sing together a song that picks up some of the themes from today's passage. In the last verse. So let us learn how to serve. And in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. Let me pray as we respond to Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the scandalous love that you expressed to your disciples. And how you express that same love to us. We marvel at your humility. And we respond by humbly receiving your love. Jesus, wash all of us. come near to any of us who've kept you away and minister into the places we've kept from you. And help us as a community here to love one another in the same way that you loved completely. For your glory, Lord. Amen.